Okay, we haven't done too many fast songs tonight. We'll do this one, then we'll close with kind of a worship song that we wrote. All these songs tonight, the Lord has let us pen, right? So this is a song called In Him. Talk about when we travel from church to church is the need to have actions that back up our faith, and that if we are true children of the Lord, then we will have corresponding actions in our life. And it's just our belief and it breaks my heart, actually. It's the reason that we do what we do, is that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who attend church regularly who are good people. Well, who think they're good people, and by the world standards they are, and they believe in God and they have a measure of religion. But they have never come into that place where they trust Jesus with all they have and develop a true relationship with Him, and they're still, and their life still bears no fruit of the kingdom. And this is just a song that I wrote to the Lord several years ago, even while living things going on in my life that I was desperate to get out of, that the Lord finally delivered me from, and a song called I Love You Too. You left your place in glory to come to where we were, met us where we needed you, reached out to us first. You took the guilt and all the blame for every wrong we've done, shouldered every ounce of pain because you were in love with us. You're still in love. And I come before you now, Lord, and acknowledge who you are. The sovereign one above all else, the lover of my heart. More than anything.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that. And it was a blessing, I'm sure, to everybody out there. God bless you. Such a good message in your music, too. It's great. Very edifying. Praise be to God. We also have Brother Dennis Law with us today from Oak Ridge, Tennessee. He just quit Oak Ridge National Laboratories there as a researcher and came down for a visit. And we asked him to share something with you. And Dennis has been helping us quite a bit to get our videos out there on Google. Strange things happen, you know, and we started putting them up on Google, and we got just so many up, and then there was this strange difficulty, you know, that we all think came from Google, but they say, oh, no, because they let you put as many as you want up there, right? But there was some kind of crazy hindrance, you know, so we really had to change our IP address to send them, and Dennis volunteered, and he started uploading them. He's really getting them all up there, so praise God. He's also written some scripts for us to really help us out, and he's a real good techie. We need techies, you know. And so Dennis here is going to share with you, you know, something about himself and something from the Lord. And God bless you, Dennis. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Brother Dave. I grew up in California, and I originally was Roman Catholic, and I didn't really believe in a lot of that they were teaching me. So eventually, I just like dropped out of that very young, and then I wasn't really believing in anything of the Bible for a while. But then, in time, the Lord just started bringing me. I saw some scriptures, and I heard some scriptures, and I got interested in the Word, and I started going in deep to the Word and understanding it. And then once I got into it, I was just born again, and I realized that it's all true, and that everything that's in there is true. And whereas before I was living by sight, afterwards, I started just believing everything that was in the Word and not doubting at all, even though it didn't agree with what you see with your eyes or what you sense with your senses, but it still is true because it comes from God. And so the Lord brought me around, and he changed me. And he started bringing me into the truth. For a while there, I went through and visited a couple of different churches and got a couple of different flavors of religion. And eventually, I just dropped out of everything. I didn't end up in any of them. And I was just mostly focusing on the Word. And just online, eventually I got to see the UBM site, and I started listening to that and downloading some of the tapes and reading the Sovereign God book and other books that you have there. And so the Lord was bringing me to learn a great deal there. The Lord also in my life has been working to help me understand His ways, basically, and submitting to His will. Basically, He wants us to trust in Him, and if we submit to His will and trust in Him, He'll bring us around, and He'll change us so that we no longer have any sinful nature, but we can be free from that because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so I did that. I basically trusted in the Lord to change me and to remove the sin that was within me and to take it out and replace it with a holy character. And
I'm just going to ask you a question while you're there. Did you go to an altar, accept Jesus as your personal Savior, do any of those kind of things?
The only thing that I did was get baptized. Mm-hmm. And that was actually an interesting story because there were some people who came to my room and then they basically were going around preaching some religion, which I later found out to be totally off, and I decided not to continue with them anymore. But basically what they did was I went to their place and got baptized,
mm-hmm.
and then immediately after that I left. And so
that's all you needed from them.
That's all I needed from them. I just got baptized, and then I saw their teachings and said, "Oh no, this is not what I want. I'm leaving."
I guess my point is that many people think there's some kind of rule in the Bible about, you know, accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, going to an altar, shaking a preacher's hand, or some kind of such thing as that. But you just felt a change in your life, right?
Well, basically, before that, I wasn't believing in the Bible at all, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden, I was believing in everything, and I was believing it as written, regardless of what I see or what I hear or anything to do with this world. I just believed it as it's written in the Bible, and
your desires were changed, right?
And my desires were changed entirely because I realized that the Lord cares for us and wants to bring us into His kingdom. That there's much more to this world than just what you see here on the earth, and there's a heavenly kingdom, and the Lord wants to bring us into that heavenly kingdom. And the way for Him to do that, for Him to be able to accomplish that, is that we need to repent of our sins and just keep repenting until He removes all the sins from us, and then we can live a holy life before Him.
It's much simpler than a formula, isn't it? It's just a matter of drawing close to God, feeling that change in your heart, continuing on running after Him, you know?
Right.
So many people have this little religious thing about it, you know. And matter of fact, I want to say something. You know, there are people that go to altars and accept Jesus as their personal Savior, and the preacher tells them, okay, now you're saved, and they continue on in their old lifestyle. You know, there's no such formula as that. They didn't even have an altar in the Bible, folks. It was just a matter of repenting and believing. That was what was written. You know, that's what the disciples or apostles preached, you know. Believe and repent, you know. So go ahead, Dennis.
You know already that in many of the books in the New Testament, it speaks that basically adulterers and people who have desires that are wrong in them, they don't get to go into the kingdom of heaven. And the only way to remove those desires is to repent, because you can't remove them by your own works, and nobody can blame you for having those desires, because everybody starts out with something wrong with them, or something, some evil desires or something like that, and they need to repent in order to get to the point where the Lord can remove those desires and change them spiritually to the point where they can live a holy life before the Lord. And that's basically what He's been doing with me throughout, ever since I came to believe in the Bible. And it's been a really big turnaround. And I just hope I just keep coming into the will of the Lord and keep doing His work and trying to bring others into the light as He keeps bringing me into the light. Basically, I've learned a great deal in that time, including, well, like, I stopped watching so much television anymore. I kind of lost interest in that, and lost interest in a lot of the worldly things, going to the movies and, I don't know, entertainment and all these other things. And because He calls us away from these things and calls us to Him, and to start paying attention to what really matters, which is getting into the kingdom and getting other people into the kingdom, and not and not all these worldly things, which are just temporary and they're going to pass away.
Well, we have a new pleasure, don't we? It's our pleasure is to do God's will, you know, to please Him. And what He loves, we love too, right? What He desires, we desire too, you know. The Great Commission, you know, is the Lord's parting message, right? It must have been very, very important to Him. So, praise God. That should be important to us too. I know the Lord's going to restore that in these days. Praise God.
Yeah, and also the Lord can change you. He can give you that love that you need if you don't have it in you already, and you acknowledge that and you repent before Him. He can give you that love. He can give you what you need to live a holy life before Him. You don't need to feel condemned because you're not doing something right. What you need to do is trust in the Lord to change you so that you can do it. Whatever it is you want to do, whatever it is you want to, if you want to be more like you want to be more like Jesus, and you see that in some way you're not, you just need to ask the Lord to get you there, and He'll get you there, and you just have to trust in Him to get you there. And that's it. You just pray before Him and trust in Him, and He keeps bringing you closer and closer to that, to the life and character of Jesus.
Amen. You have another message you want to share with us? Okay.
Well, another thing that I've learned in that time is like the importance of not giving in to peer pressure and not giving in to the what other people want from you, instead trying to do what the Lord wants you to do, basically. So it's kind of difficult sometimes, but when you're dealing with people who are very worldly or carnal, and you're trying to get them to come more into the true teachings of the Bible, and basically I've learned to trust in the Lord to bring those changes about in them, and use me to go ahead and do that, and I just pray that He brings about changes in people and trust in Him to do that. And even with my family and with others, I've had some successes in bringing about spiritual changes in them. My father used to smoke, and he stopped, and he started realizing that because Jesus died on the cross, he doesn't have to smoke anymore, and other things that may be wrong with people, they don't have to do that anymore. They can repent and accept that Jesus paid the price already, and so all you have to do is believe it and let the Lord work in you and change you.
And it's a rest too when you can just give it over to the Lord for your family rather than be anxious or try to work it out for yourself. You know, some of the people that really do desire their family to come in, they're anxious about it, and they want to jump in there, and sometimes they do more harm than good instead of just resting in the Lord, letting the Lord open the doors, you know, let Him bring forth the words, you know, let Him bring forth the conviction. You know, we can't really convince somebody into this. It has to be a gift from God. No one comes unto the Son except the Father draws. You know, Ephesians 2:8, He gives us a gift of faith. You know, so we really have to leave it in God's hands. We go to God for these people around us, our loved ones, and we trust in Him. And should He open a door for us to speak, we're willing, of course, to step through that door. But some people are very, oppressive to try to bring the gospel to their loved ones, and it really does the opposite. Has the opposite effect. So we have to rest. Everything is the rest. You know, the wisdom that comes down from above is easy, and it's easy to be entreated, the Bible says, you know. It's peaceful, right? We just rest in God. He has a timing for everything. He, many times when we pray, God does wait and see if we try to bring it to pass, you know. And he kind of backs up until we cease from our works, which is, of course, where his power is made perfect. So when we realize that we're not getting anywhere by our own methods or any kind of anxiety or compulsion in us to push someone into the kingdom, right? When he sees that we're getting worn down and we're giving up on our own self-efforts, salvation by works, then he starts moving in. He starts doing it. When we enter into the rest in this regard, he starts bringing it to pass. And, of course, what he's trying to show us is that nothing really can be affected by our own works. And anxiety is not from the Lord, or fear is not from the Lord. And this compulsive actions are not from the Lord, but this rest and this peace, this being guided by his peace, is the way. And when we cease from our works, he's going to do his. You know, the less we do, the less we put in, the more God puts in, folks. We, of course, want to be a vessel through whom he can flow. But as long as us, as we are flowing through us, then it's not him. And we need to cease from our works, enter into the rest, keep the New Testament Sabbath, and believe whatever we've put in God's hands by faith. You know, when you go to God and you ask him for something, and matter of fact, Jesus said, this is the way you pray about everything. You know, all things that you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. And believing you received them is a place of rest. It's a place of peace. It's a place of saying, okay, maybe God don't want to use me at all. Maybe he wants to use someone else to talk to my relative. It doesn't matter. You know, it's done because I've asked him. But yet I'm yielding myself as a vessel if he does want to use me. So that peace will come across to people that you really do have something. To others, if you're anxious and you're troubled and you're compulsive and you're not speaking in the Spirit, you know, that comes across too. And so rest in the Lord. Everything you pray for, rest in the Lord. Everything, everything. That's what Jesus said. Rest in the Lord. Believe you've received. And just be willing to be used of God. Offer yourself up to God as a vessel. And he'll do it.
Yeah, and basically I've found the same thing. If I try to use rational arguments or try to use a persuasive speech to try to convince someone, that really doesn't work. But when I trust in the Lord and I just try to lead by example instead of trying to convince someone, and the Lord is able to bring about those changes. And all I have to do is wait for the Lord to open up the doors, and he opens up the opportunities for me to say something at the right time, or something happens in the course of their life, and they're opened up to receive something because the Lord brought them to that point. And then they can receive it, and then they have a large change in their life. And all the glory belongs to the Lord for that, because it could not have been done without him. I mean, I couldn't just convince them. And many people have doctrines that are false or other problems like that, but I don't think it's possible to rationally convince them, rationally argue with them and get them to your side. It has to be a spiritual thing where the Lord works in them and changes their heart. And basically I just have to put my faith in the Lord that he's going to change them. He's going to open up doors. He's going to arrange things. He's going to do whatever's necessary to turn them around give them the faith that they need to believe in the full gospel and bring them into the kingdom, basically.
Amen. Anything you can convince someone into, they can be convinced out of. I think that probably points out the vast numbers of people that so-called came to Christ at one time, but they're out in the world, you know. Many of these people, many of them, have just been convinced into something that a quick and easy way to fire insurance. And they took that quick, easy way, and there was no change of heart. And yet, you know, he doesn't need an altar. He don't need a preacher's hand. He don't need anything. He just, like he did with myself. I mean, I was just challenged by a friend, an old friend that I went through school with to read the Bible. And he said it was very interesting. It was supernatural. And, you know, he used some rather worldly things, actually, I mean, because I had a curiosity about the supernatural. I didn't really have a curiosity about following God, but I was very had a lot of curiosity about the supernatural, and so I started reading the Bible, and sure enough, it was supernatural. It reached out and grabbed me, and it never turned me loose, and you know, I never did, never put the book down. So, you know, but that I knew was a supernatural anointing flowing over me to cause me to be that way. And everybody around me knew something happened to me. They didn't all like it, but they all knew something happened to me, you know. Suddenly I wasn't smoking dope morning and night and getting drunk and doing all the things I normally did, you know. Suddenly now all I had time to do was read the Bible, you know. Don't waste my time with that stuff, you know. So, I mean, you know, when God does it, boy, I tell you, it's awesome. It's awesome. Just trust Him to do it, you know. There was no more unlikely person to come to the Lord, I don't think, than me. Because, you know, you hear all the sad stories out there about, oh, I was knocked down and stepped on and run over by a Mack truck, and then I turned to the Lord, you know. Well, it really didn't happen to me that way. I was actually enjoying my sinful life. And God used, like I said, not necessarily spiritual things to bring me to the curiosity of the Bible. And so, no, I never did get run over by the Mack truck. Of course, I had the regular hangovers and problems like that that people had. But I was fairly prosperous. I had a good job, you know. I had lots of hobbies that I loved to play with, you know. And you know, was generally having a good, what I thought was, a good time. And so that one thing that my dear Baptist friend brought to me, you know, about the Bible, about the prophecies coming true, and I think I had read Chariots of the Gods or something. Maybe that wasn't the one, but it was one of them back there like that I'd read, and I thought, wow, you know, it was totally off the wall, whatever it was, you know. It was garbage, you know. But, you know, I mean, I still remember going to the Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't know if any of you ever remembered that. It's maybe way back before your time, you know. But that thing so affected me because I was totally carnal. I was totally carnal. That thing so affected me. And I thought, wow, you know. Yeah, there's something to this Jesus Christ stuff, you know. You know. And I went into the churches and they, you know, I had heard comments like, oh, that's so blasphemous. And I'd look at them and say, blasphemous? Really? You know? Well, I didn't have enough Bible background to know it was blasphemous. If it was, you know, I don't know. But I don't even remember the blasphemous parts. The only parts I remembered was the parts that impressed me. Kind of like when I was smoking dope one day and watching the Ten Commandments, you know, and watching the water part and so on and so forth. You know, I thought, wow. You know? So God used that on me, you know, at the time. So, you know, don't be too critical. I remember, you know, after coming to the Lord and going to some churches, and they were really, really bad on, really down on Christian rock music. And of course, I don't care too much for Christian rock music myself, but I love to hear some, you know, hear a good message with some wonderful music behind it. You know, I love that. So one day the Lord he wanted me to go to a Christian rock concert. Now somebody out there is probably saying, blasphemy, you know. There it is right there, blasphemy. See there, you got that from that Jesus Christ Superstar stuff. Well, anyway, I went to this rock concert and, you know, they were actually reaching out in a worldly way to a worldly people. And a bunch of those people in the audience just came down to the altar to turn to the Lord. Now, I know that that's a simplistic thing, but many a life starts there, you know, and many a eternal life starts there. You just kind of get your toe in the door some kind of way, you know. And so I thought, you know, Lord, you know, that is truly kind of worldly for me, but at the time when I went, but that is truly worldly for me, but God sometimes reaches out to the worldly through worldly things. He'll speak to them through things like that. Not that we want to bring more mature spiritual Christians into those things. They don't need to go back. They need to go on, you know. But God can use things like that, like He used Jesus Christ Superstar on me, you know. Well, praise God, you know. Don't be critical, you know, when people are along the path. Don't beat up on them too much, you know. More so, pray for them and believe God, because they may go down some roads that they decide, oh, you know, the Lord Himself can show them, no, you don't need to go that way, you know, and no, this is not quite right, you know. Or even afterwards, they realize that that it wasn't quite right. But you know, we can make some mistakes. It's good when you're a baby and you're starting to walk, you make some mistakes, you stumble, you fall sometimes, you get back up, you go again. All that's part of the learning process, you know. The most important thing is not being critical about these little brothers and sisters, but because that can really stunt them and that can really turn them off, that can really hurt them, you know. Not be so critical, but just pray for them. Pray for them. Put your faith in God to do this for them, you know. And be willing, if you really feel the peace and the grace of God, to speak to them, you know. And if not, keep your mouth shut. You know, leave them alone. You know, let them grow. And anything else, Dennis?
Well, unless you got any questions for me, let's see.
Well, tell me, what kind of questions should I ask you? What are you doing for us now in as far as the scripts and things like that? Can you explain that?
Oh, well, I was just loading up all the videos on Google and modifying some of the things for the web pages so that people can go through the videos in an easy way.
Yeah.
And so...
Boy, I need that kind of stuff because I'm not a techie, you know. I don't have time for that stuff, you know. But it comes real easy to you, but it comes real hard to me, you know. And a lot of people my age, it does come hard to, too, you know. So, man, as simple as you guys can make it, that's great. That's great for us old-timers, you know, that weren't raised with computers, you know.
Right.
So, please, make it as simple as possible. Praise God. You know, while... Jason was speaking a while ago, or maybe it was the song he was singing. I was reminded of Psalm chapter 2, and I felt like the Lord impressed me at that time to read this. You know, history keeps on repeating, doesn't it? Glory to God. You know, don't worry about what you see coming down the road. Yeah, things are falling all apart, and the world is going nuts, and they are railing at Christians for the goofiest things, you know. And you can just tell it's the devil in them. The devil is coming to maturity in his people, if you want to put it that way, you know. He's manifesting in his people just as Christ is in his, you know. We know that the feet of the beast are about to meet the feet of Christ. You know, remember the feet of the beast in Daniel's revelation, right? The image of the beast went all the way down to the toes. The ten toes were the ten kings, you know, and of course that's in our time. But the stone that was cut out of the mountains rolled down out of the mountain and hit that image in the feet, which is of course the end times, and crumbled that thing totally, all the way back to its beginning. Totally destroyed the beast kingdom.